The observation is in the use of cowrie shells as coinage in China. Our colleague was saying that in India, he had noticed these being used as a kind of low-level, fairly, how can I say, common level of exchange up until a few decades ago. And the thought is there some kind of trade in these cowries between India and China? K.C. Chang, in his book on Shang civilization, has actually plotted the geographic area that he thinks that the Chinese cowries came from. And it seems to extend way out into the East China Sea. It doesn't seem to run from China toward the Indian Ocean or down through Southeast Asia. There were very important trade routes, and I don't think that the books that we read these days convey to us enough the magnitude of the trade that went through the South China Sea, from the Roman world to India, to Vietnam, and then to Canton. You know, there is a site at the mouth of the Mekong River, a site called Ok Eo, in Vietnamese, which has apparently Roman coins and metals in it mixed with material from the Han Dynasty. And so that's the point, apparently, at which the trade routes of the ancient world ran. And I think those of you who come from Canton have always had this feeling that somehow Canton is a window into the whole southern part of the ancient world. But I don't think that this has ever been properly documented by historians to the level that it should be.
One question.
Yes?
Is it the case that the tomb of the first emperor of China has yet to be excavated?
Yes. Yes. Emperor Qin's tomb. Now, all that we looked at were these pits around the edge, which, you know, that's pretty spectacular. But the Emperor Qin himself is supposed to be buried, get this, you know, and I believe, I used to think that Chinese talked in terms of hyperbole, but this is really, it's written out down by Sima Qian, the historian from the Han period. He's buried in a bronze casket which is floating on a lake of mercury. And the lake of mercury is in the shape of the territories of China which he controlled. And all of this is underground under this incredible tumulus. And then at some kilometers from that tumulus is the pit with the 7,000 soldiers, which are all 4 meters below ground surface. They're in a chamber, in a log chamber, which is 2 meters below ground, and that chamber is 2 meters high. And that chamber actually was set on fire by rebels before it was even finished, and it burned for some time. So that's all there. And I don't think that the Chinese have any immediate plans to excavate. But this is the situation with Chinese archaeology. We are not yet in a position to ask them these kinds of questions. And all through the Cultural Revolution, I think it was really obvious that in some maybe rather indirect way, I think things were being excavated to serve certain kinds of political ends. Maybe not, but I think so to a degree. I don't think we know very much about what is planned for the long future. I think one of the problems in China is simply dealing with things which are discovered by chance from day to day. It takes an army of archaeologists, I think. They say they have 2,500, I think, in the country working on sort of government projects. That doesn't include people who excavate. Those are simply administrative types.
You've done well. Thank you very much. To thank our speaker, I'd like to ask my successor, Dr. Cole Harris, to come forward.
Well, Dick, this has been an absolutely remarkable tour through complex materials. What is equally remarkable is your enthusiasm and your knowledge across an extraordinary array. It's just wonderful to see a really first-rate Canadian archaeologist so involved with these important materials. That's so for all sorts of reasons, not least of which because in the long term, the past that you're looking at is our past too. So thank you very, very much.
Thank you again very much for coming. I'll remind you that next week we have the Dalgrauer Memorial Lecture. Mr. Timothy Finley, a Canadian author living in Ontario, will speak Matter Over Mind, the Imagination in Jeopardy. Thank you very much. I move the meeting adjourned.